You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's time for Mickey Fulpes' monthly major market review for April 2021. Today is May 3rd, 2021. Well, Mickey, markets do what they always do, at least for years now, and that is go up.
It seems that way, Carrie. The major U.S. indices all hit all-time highs during the month, although they've all closed below those highs. Down last week. Let's look at the numbers. Dow closed at 33,875 for 2.7% gain. It's up over 10% on the year. S&P 500 closed up 5% on the month to 41,81. It's up about 11% on the year. NASDAQ made a comeback as it had lagged through the first quarter. It closed at 13,963, up 5.4% and about 8% on the year. The one that really has lagged over the last month is the Russell 2000. It closed at 2266 for only a 2% gain. But a lot of that had to do with the Democrat tax plan. Is that Obama or Harris or Klain or Milquetoast Joe? I'm not really sure, but it's caused the small caps to not perform as bad. Whoever's running 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, we don't know. It's kind of like who's running Cuba. I defy you to tell me that one.
Oh, that's precious.
Yeah, well, if you know who it is, please let us know.
The VIX has traded over the last month, or it doesn't trade. It's a major, S&P 500 futures major. It's called a fear index, volatility index. But it is less than the mean, and its median now into, 31 years of records at 18.6. And so that's the first time since this whole virus pandemic thing hit well over a year ago that the volatility index has settled down a bit. Let's go up north, where draconian lockdowns continue to affect Canadian markets. The Toronto Stock Exchange was up on the month about 2%, closed at 19,108, but really is a tug of war between soaring commodity prices, and that country is very dependent on commodities, versus the draconian lockdowns that continue. The Venture Exchange corrected from its multi-year high of 1,100 in mid-February. Volumes are at about 50% of that time. It ended up the month at 955 for a 2-point gain, but quite a big correction going on there from that 1,100 measure in mid-February. And the emerging market index, especially affected by China, it is lagging in all economic metrics for April. That includes the PMI, construction and services. Shanghai Exchange is up only 21% year over year, where the S&P 500 is up 48%. So that trimmed that index down. It closed at 1348. Still eked out a 2% gain.
All right. So, and for our next coverage here, we go to our money. Bad month for the dollar.
Well, it really got overbought last month at the end of March. So it got oversold. It actually dropped down into the 90 range. It closed up last week or so, closed at 91.30 for a 2% loss. A real very volatile month for the dollar index. Euro, of course, was down an equal amount, closed at 1. 120 down 2.3%. 10-year treasury, long-term bonds got way ahead of themselves. That rate went down into the 1.5x range. It rallied as toward the end of the month, closed at 1.64 for almost a 6% loss. And finally, let's talk about Bitcoin. The real question, is it a $64,000 question or it is a $47,000 question? That was the range of Bitcoin over the month. That's 25% volatility. It closed kind of midway between that at 57,032 for a 3.0% loss on the month.
Yeah, well, I guess if we like volatility, we got to love Bitcoin, right?
That's your game. If you love volatility, embrace it and play Bitcoin. Day trade Bitcoin.
I know a lot of people.
All you Robin Hooders out there.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who are doing it, that's for sure. They think they've hit the crypto gold mine, and maybe they're right. So getting into the real metal, the real wealth, the good month for precious metals.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver Project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assay an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Gold is up 3.5%, closed at 1767. It was stronger, but it still is bucking at resistance at 1800. Silver had a nice month. It was up almost 6% to 2580. Platinum gained 1% to 1192. It spent a significant amount of the month, about 1200. That's up 12% on the year. But the real story in precious metals space, it was palladium, up 21% year to date, an all-time high on supply deficits, and of course the specs come in. It closed at 2845, up 12.5% on the month. And also a big winner was copper. Last week it was very near its record high of February 2011 of $4.60. Came off a bit. It was a close of 447 on April 30th, which was Friday. 11.5% gain on the month, about 26% on the year. It's really overbought on infrastructure and electric vehicle speculation. To me, that's hopes and prayers.
Hey, going back to palladium here, 2845. I mean, just a few short years ago, it was trading for less than platinum, and platinum's also had a run, but we're going to talk about palladium. What is driving it? Is there really a supply deficit?
Absolutely. The Russians will not meet at Norilsk, the world's largest palladium mine, will not meet guidance this year. And so there really is a supply deficit in palladium. But certainly the speculators are pouring onto this market. We'll see what happens, but it is completely overbought. And there is talk now of OEM switching back to palladium as main catalyst in gasoline motors. We talked about that several times. Anyway, there's no reason to buy palladium right now.
You know, the thing is that the amount of platinum and palladium used in an automobile's catalytic converter is a fraction of the total component cost. So until it gets to a point where the cost, some some bean counter at an auto company notices it, and then they actually sit down and they actually do something about it. It just, there's not a lot of incentive here. But if they can
Kerry, I think I'm going to call you on that one. We talked about this before, and automakers are paying attention now. So
that's new.
I think that the tide has turned. Right. We'll see going forward. But, you know, the average platinum palladium ratio, well, let me put it differently, both the mean and median of the platinum to palladium ratio since 1970, so that's 52 years or 51 and a half years of record right now, is 3.0, meaning normally, on average, platinum trades at three times the amount of palladium, and right now it's trading at about 40% of palladium.
Yeah, that is an interesting statistic, and we've been talking for years that they're going to switch back platinum, but now, you know, the trend's away from ICE engines. They haven't been investing as much in them as they should, and I guess they'll have to move some engineers over from the EV department to go straighten that mess out. And, you know, it's they're always on the wrong side of the trade, big auto. That's just what it comes down to. So let's look at our energy sector for this month, Mickey. Pretty good for all but one.
Yeah, we had a two-year high for WTI at $63.58 for 7.5% gain. Brent had a nice gain, almost 6%, closed at $67.25. That's its high since the end of 2019. Henry Hub Gas bucked the trend, and I really don't know why. It closed at $2.93, up 12%. And by bucking the trend, it hit a wintertime low somewhere between 250 and 277. And that's normally the high demand season. So now we're in a very weak season before people turn the air conditioners on. And here you have Henry Hub with a 12% gain. Close at 293. I have no idea why, Kerry.
Okay. And finally, good old U308.
Well, as a reformed uranium permeable, those guys are wrong again. And I gave that up 3 or 4 years ago. I quit being a permeable in uranium. It soared on strong buying from a number of entities, got up to over $31 last month, came back down to earth this month, closed at $29.05 for a 7% loss.
All right. And finally, our ratios. So the gold to silver is down a little bit.
Yeah, but it's in a normal range at 68.5. The one we've already mentioned, platinum to palladium, down once again with palladium's record high. It was down to 0.42. It's still got a long ways to go to its record low of 0.32. But once again, I will emphasize that's about seven times less than the average ratio. Going on to energy, the one I really want to talk about is gold to WTI. It continues to drop, closed at 27.8 after all-time highs from March till January of 2021. So from the beginning of the virus scare through the month of January, it's finally getting into somewhat a normal range.
All right. So maybe we will have normal once again, and the pandemic will be over behind us, and life will return to normal. Borders will open up again. Who knows? If you've got an idea of when that's going to happen, we'd love to hear from you. Just send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com. Sign up for his newsletter. Twitter feed is @mercenarygeo. We are financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Just go to the site, sign up for your free newsletter, and our Twitter feed's @kerrylutz. And Mickey, we will pick up with you again next month, same time, same place.
Thanks a lot, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.